Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And in this episode, I'd like to discuss a very controversial question about a subject that I've not invented. This is something that's well known to scholars, academics, and lay folk who take an interest in the question of forgery and whether or not there are forged texts in the New Testament. And the overwhelming view of virtually all scholars in the world outside of fundamentalist seminaries in the United States is that there are. And the one book in particular that is highlighted as the best example and almost universally considered example of a fake or forged text is one of the two letters in the New Testament claimed to be by the Apostle Peter. And one in particular, 2 Peter, is seen by virtually everyone as a forgery. Why is this? What's the evidence for it? And what does this mean? What are the implications of this for faith if we have a forged text in the Bible? Now, let's just look at the text, first of all. I've got my special Bible here, the Holy Bible. Not any old Bible, it's a holy version, the New Revised Standard Version. And this is the one that's usually used by, it's one I used at university myself, the standard scholarly translation that's used when they're not quoting directly from the Greek. The second letter of Peter is a brief letter claimed to be by, it begins, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith as precious as ours through the righteousness of our God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. That's the first verse of the letter. A little bit further on the 16th and 17th verses, it says this, For we did not follow, and this is Peter speaking, apparently, we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we have been eyewitnesses of his majesty, for he received honor and glory from God the Father when that voice was conveyed to him by the majestic glory, saying, This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. That's the end of quote. Peter is referring here, obviously, to the famous story in the Gospels of the transfiguration of Jesus. We can read about it in the Synoptic Gospels. And this is clearly stating the author himself was personally present as an eyewitness to these momentous events. And what could be more precious than eyewitness testimony preserved for us in the Bible these 2,000 years? What a precious bit of evidence there we have for the life of Jesus. And he calls him in verse 1, as I say, our God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. So a clear witness by Peter to the deity of Jesus, that Jesus is God. Even Peter believes that, according to this letter. However, so that is the evidence, if you like, of the scriptures are quite clear. There's no ambiguity that they are from the apostle himself. So what's the problem? Why am I suggesting there's an issue here about fakes and frauds and forgeries? Well, I didn't invent this problem. I discovered it. I certainly didn't. It didn't occur to me it was a forgery until I was reading various books, and I discovered that it seemed to be a forgery. So what can I show you to give substantiation to that claim? Well, a new book has just been published, and it is a brick of a book. Here it is. Oh, God, look how thick that tome is. You could build houses out of these books. And it's called The New Testament in Its World, an introduction to the history, literature, and theology of the first Christians. So it's basically about the New Testament. And the authors, there's a joint authorship, N.T. Wright, or more popularly known as Tom Wright. He's a British, he used to be a Bishop of Durham in the Church of England. He's now a professor of New Testament studies and early Christianity at the University of St. Andrews, which is in Scotland. And then there's a chap called Michael Bird, who less well known. He says here on the blurb, he's a leading scholar in New Testament studies, and he's based in Australia. And there's a lovely picture of the couple there at the back having a chat about the New Testament, I suppose. Now, this work is published by Zondervan Academic, Zondervan Academic, which is an evangelical, a Christian evangelical publisher in the United States. And it's got rave reviews on the back. Just give you just a few examples. Craig Blomberg, who from Denver Seminary, one of the leading conservative evangelical scholars in the world in English, he says it's an amazing volume, one of a kind. I won't bore you with all the other, praising and laudatory commendations on the back. People like Crave, Keena. If you know these guys, you know who they are: J.P. Davis, Peter Oakes, Scott McKnight, who I quite like. Another one from Wheaton College. This great work is loved by the Christian evangelical community, scholarly community. So, what do they say about our second letter to 2 Peter? So I'm quoting this by way of introduction. What they're saying is not new. It's been said by scholars for probably over a century now. But because it's such an authoritative book, this new one, by credited evangelical scholars, I thought I'd share even their reasons for doubting it. So on page 763 of this brick, it says, Origins of 2 Peter. Did Peter write 2 Peter? The authenticity of the second Petrine letter, Petrine is another word for Peter, it's an adjective meaning by Peter, is one of the most disputed in New Testament studies. The reason for doubting authenticity are as follows, and they give 8 reasons why it wasn't by Peter. And then, which I'll come to in a second. So some think, and after these reasons have been given, they comment, some think that 2 Peter could still have been written by Peter, perhaps using a secretary. And I've heard this myself many times. Others suppose that it was composed in the late first century, perhaps in the 80s, in a Petrine circle in Rome, aiming to honour Paul's apostolic legacy. Others again have suggested that the letter is not only pseudepigraphal, but was written as late as the end of the second century. Pseudepigraphal means, it's a fancy Greek term meaning fake text. Pseudo means forged. Epigraphal is from the Greek word meaning writing. So it's basically forged writings. It's a euphemism used in academia. So others again, as I've just repeat, have suggested that the letter is not only pseudepigraphal, but was written in the late as the end of the second century, perhaps in Asia Minor. Asia Minor is today's Turkey. Postulating the Apostle Peter as the author of this feels to us, that is Tom Wright and Bird, like pushing a big rock up a steep hill. The indications of post-Petrine authorship appear overwhelming. Post-Petrine authorship meaning it was written after Peter, not by Peter. They say it was overwhelming. It seems to be a pastiche of so many parts of the New Testament, mentioning Paul's letters, echoing episodes from Matthew and John, incorporating the polemical sections of Jude, and making deliberate connections back to 1 Peter. Now, I'm not going to read all of them. I'm not going to read the 8 reasons, actually, because I'm going to quote from another text which gives a summary of the reasons rather than go through each of the 8 reasons, which are quite detailed. So the point is that it seems to them that that it's not by Peter. The reasons appear to be overwhelming. All right. So these are not atheist, skeptical, liberal scholars. These are renowned, highly regarded evangelical scholars. And they think Peter didn't write it. So my other text, to perhaps simplify matters a little bit, in terms of the reasons, they can summarize this in a very quick way. I want to refer to the Oxford Dictionary of the Christian Church. Now, there's another brick. You know, you could build another house from this. Ugh, here it is. This is a huge text published by Oxford University Press. I mean, every priest has this, every bishop has this. This is the standard academic reference work for Christian theology, the Christian church, and history, Christian history. Brilliant. Everyone should have a copy of this. And of course, there's an entry here on the Peter's letter, second letter. And this is what they say. There are several indications that the letter is of late date, in other words, after Peter. Thus the passage, chapter 3, verse 3 and onwards, dealing with the delay of the coming of the Lord, presupposes that the first generation of Christians has passed away. Remember, Peter was a first generation Christian. The author classes the epistles of St. Paul as scripture in 3:16, a position which they apparently did not attain until some considerable time after the apostle's death. It is first definitely referred to by Origen, and he was a second, third century church father, in the third century, and he writes of it as of disputed authenticity. So it was very controversial, even in the third century. It also has some close points of literary contact with the Apocalypse of St. Peter, which is undisputed by everyone that's not by Peter. These indications of date and the differences in style and interests from 1 Peter make it virtually impossible to hold that St. Peter was the author. The letter was received into the biblical canon with considerable hesitation. Its date is probably the second or third Christian generation, perhaps about AD 150, end quote. So just to highlight that verse there, it is virtually impossible to hold that St. Peter was the author of 2 Peter. Virtually impossible. When you look at the writing style, when you look at the content and so on and so on, it's virtually impossible that Peter wrote it. So put this down before it breaks my arm off. So what we have here, we have a letter written by apparently Peter that states unequivocally that his eyewitness, we ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. If all these scholars are right, if the evangelicals and virtually the whole Christian church is right, that this is not by Peter, but is probably second century, AD 150, then here we have a forgery. A forgery is a deliberate attempt to deceive the readership into thinking that the letter is by a famous person, by an apostle, by a prince, a king, or whoever, by Jesus even. But in fact, it's not. It's written by someone else whose identity we don't usually discover. There are occasions when we have discovered who the real authors are in history. 3 Corinthians, for example, famously was discovered whilst the poor chap was writing it. That's a different story. So just for the moment, I'm going to assume that Tom Wright and virtually the whole Christian church is correct in assuming this is not by Peter. What does this mean? What it means is that we have in the New Testament fake testimony, fake eyewitness testimony to the life of Jesus that is virtually universally understood to be fake. Yet, nevertheless, it is still trusted by virtually, you know, the entire Christian world outside of scholarship as being authentic. And people are believing they have eyewitness testimony to Jesus and that the apostle Peter thought Jesus was God, when in fact he didn't. This letter is not by him. It is a forgery. And what this does, it casts doubt on the reliability of the New Testament as an authentic, trustworthy witness to truth, to historical truth, moral truth, to the actual life and teaching of people like Peter. We can't trust it. And this, I take no joy in saying, is not the only example. This is probably the most egregious example, the most clear-cut example in the New Testament. But there are other examples like 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, for example, and even 1 Peter is often seen to be forged as well. So what are we to do with this? I'll leave that for you to decide, but I wanted just to share with you the state of play. In terms of books about forgeries, rather than about 2 Peter particularly, I recommend this book. Now, this book is called Forgery and Counterforgery, The Use of a Literary Deceit in Early Christian Polemics. It's by Bart Ehrman, who is much hated by a lot of people, Christians, fundamentalists particularly. But this is probably a book you've not heard of. Many people have heard of his more popular book, which is on a similar subject, called Forged. Writing in the Name of God, Why the Bible's Authors Are Not Who We Think They Are. Now, this is a bestseller on the New York Times bestselling list. And this is a popular book for the man in the street, if you like. And it's pretty good, although perhaps he over-eggs some of his arguments. This, however, is an academic work written for scholars. And it is over 600 pages long, and it takes no prisoners. And I have read every word of it. It's very good. What do the specialists in the field think? Those who specialize in early texts, their integrity, their historical provenance, what do they think about this? It's a new book. I'll give an example. But the reviews are on the back from Duke University. The field think this. With forgery and counterforgery, Bart Ehrman has decisively undermined the view that the early Christian pseudepigraphal writings are something other than forgeries. These works, however well-intentioned, were quite simply bastards, that's the word they use, and were viewed as such whenever their false authorial claims were discovered. This deeply engaging, carefully documented, and thought-provoking expose of ancient forgery is required reading for anyone interested in understanding how and why so many Christian writers sought to pass off their works as the product of named authorities when they so obviously are not. Thoroughly convincing. And that's Jennifer Knust at Boston University. Duke University and Yale University, Dale Martin at Yale. In this remarkable tour de force, Bart Ehrman provides the only thorough examination of ancient pseudepigraphy and forgery in the English language, including their importance for early Christianity. Though other books on the topic have been available in German, Ehrman supersedes them all, providing an account that is both scholarly and accessible. This is a masterwork that will be for a long time. Now, I'm not suggesting you read this unless you're particularly interested in the academic. He reviews every instance of forgery in the ancient world. He discusses it with great scholarly acumen and balance. Anyway, I just mentioned that as a recent work that takes this whole subject to the nth degree. And that is it for today. Where are we? 17 minutes and counting. I certainly welcome comments about this. There are some able defenses of 2 Peter, but able, I mean, if you believe in the inerrancy of the Bible, if you believe the Bible is perfect and contains no errors at all, then you will, on that basis, mount a defense. And there are some defenses of the Bible on that basis. But if you don't start from that dogmatic basis, if you start with an open mind and just look at the evidence, it's virtually certain that you will come to the conclusion that it's impossible, to quote the Oxford Dictionary of the Christian Church, to believe that Peter wrote 2 Peter, and therefore the Christian scriptures contain a deceit, an intended deception to lie to its readers into believing, getting them to believe that Peter actually was an eyewitness and we have his testimony in the Bible when we don't. Anyway, that's it for now. Till next time. Bye-bye.